Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
But listen, but God will do some stuff that we, and I was sharing also, you know, how God, when he moves, and I was thinking about, we've been teaching recently about what happened with Elijah, you know, on Mount Carmel. Now, we never got there because we talked about Elijah at the brook. Remember that? It dried up. And then we talked about Elijah at the empty meal barrel. Y'all remember that? He was on his way someplace. Where he was on his way to? He was on his way to Mount Carmel. When he got there, you know, other miraculous thing took place. God has a way of doing some things that's just beyond our, you know, our reason. That's why you can't serve God through reason. You can only serve him really and effectively through revelation. Because what happened on that, listen, Elijah walked with such an anointing, with such power, he could command God to move, listen, at his whim. Amen. When he, at the point he called for fire to come down from heaven, fire came. Tell your neighbor, that's power. And guess what? The same. And not only did that happen, but what happened when he called the fire was miraculous as well. Because what God does, God always does things that's beyond your ability to understand or to logically make sense of it. Because when he called the fire down, he called the fire down, listen, from heaven to listen, consume the water that was there. Now, how many of y'all have ever seen, fire burn up water? Now, that's not a normal transaction, is it? Because most of the time, when you have a fire at your house, you call the fire department and they come with what?
Water.
But in this case, there was water, and he sent fire to consume the water. Normally, water consumes. See, God can do some stuff that's beyond. So don't ever try to use your logic to determine what God can do, because he can flip the script on you in a minute. Amen. He can call, and not only did he do that, but listen, but they poured excessive water on the square while Elijah was on the mountain. And Elijah wasn't even sweating. He said, y'all go ahead and call on your God first. Didn't he tell them that? And then when God didn't respond, he started making fun of them. Call him louder. And then he said, maybe your God, and their God still didn't do nothing. I tell you, neighbor, that's why I serve the God of the Bible. He said, well, y'all, look, what's up with your God? What's up? He said, call him louder. Listen, and when they called on him, he said they didn't do anything. And he said, well, maybe they're on maybe your God's on vacation. Huh? He's going to the south of France somewhere. He's just strolling down the Champs-Élysées or something. He's doing something other than listening to your prayer. And when he got through, he started listening. They started jumping up and down and cutting themselves. And their God still didn't answer. And then Elijah said, all right, enough of that. It's my turn. And then he got before God and asked God to send down fire. And guess what? God did it on command. Now, you tell me that's not an awesome thing. Listen, I'm telling you, he's a miracle worker. And the Lord said, listen, the reason why things are not transpiring the way that you need them to or believe them to is because you don't believe. How many of y'all believe what the Word of God says, that God can do anything? Tell your neighbor, I'm leaving my worry in this room. Come on, say it like you mean. I'm leaving my worries right in this room. He said, listen, don't carry them another step. He said, wherever you are, just stay there and just throw the worries at me. He said, cast your cares upon me. Didn't he say that? Tell your neighbor, don't take them another step. Don't worry another moment. Tell them that. Tell them, cast your worries on the Lord. Amen. He can handle it. And then God declared, I can do some things that's beyond your ability. The text we read today regarding the feeding of the multitudes was extrapolated to perhaps be something somewhere around the number of about 20,000 people. Only with, listen, two fish and five barley loaves of bread. Amen. That's all it took for him to feed 20,000 folk. Tell your neighbor there's nothing too hard for God. And so you realize, now what you got to do right now is start thinking about the challenges you have going on in your life. Amen. Think about what issues you have in your life, and then you got to assess whether or not the God that we serve, whether or not he's able, or whether or not you believe he's capable of bringing you out of that situation successfully. Amen. In every situation you find, whether it's spiritual, God's got it. Amen. If it's physical, guess what? God's got it. You see him healing folk with all kind of stuff in the Bible. I mean, that's why when you talk about him healing the lepers, I'm going to get to the fish and these loaves in just a moment. But when he healed the lepers, leprosy had never been healed. Had never been healed. Had never been healed until the Lord healed Naaman. Amen. You never seen it. Amen. That means it ain't never been done. It didn't mean God couldn't do it. So what are you going through that you believe God can do? I mean, you know, and it's interesting though, when you think about, the way folk did back then, you know, when people contracted a leprosy, you know, they didn't even let them hang out with regular folk, with folk that didn't have it. Amen. And don't you know, that's what we do. You know, y'all know, you know, whenever there's a problem that you don't know how to handle, there's a certain thing you do with those issues. You do with all of them. You got bills you can't pay, you don't open them up, you just throw them in a pile. Certain things you do with stuff that you don't know what to do with. And you do the same thing with the same stuff, you know, and that's what happened with lepers. They put them all in one place. This is where y'all gonna hang out, because there's nothing we can do with y'all. So they put them all in one place. But listen, the Lord has a way, listen, of rising above the limitations of the rest of the world and doing something that the rest of the world cannot do. That's the kind of God that we serve. You got challenges, listen, in your home, on your job, in your school, there is nothing beyond God's ability to do. Amen? So that's why the Lord said in this text, he's telling us about the trusting him, because that's the best option that any of us has, is trusting God. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't let your mind be fooled. Nothing is beyond him. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll lead you. He said, if you just trust God, just believe God, he'll lead you. When they're talking about sowing in offering like we just did, huh? He said, listen, just do it. Just trust him. Even, watch this, even if you really don't believe it, you ought to do it. Say, God, look, I stepped out there. Now it's in your hands. Watch God do it. My God, I feel like preaching right now. I saw Elisha do that. Elisha. I talked about Elijah, but Elisha did that, didn't he? He wanted to know where the God of his mentor was when his mentor went on into glory on a blaze. Listen, in that chariot. Y'all remember that? Amen. Listen, you ought to have that same excitement in your heart about what God can do in your life. Amen? Amen. You ought to be so excited about the word of God that you believe God right where you are. You see, let me go on real quick. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes. And then it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's verse number 7. Verse 8 says, it says, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with what? The first fruit of all your increase. First, he teaches us to trust him. Then he says, to give me the best of your first. Amen. And listen, when you know that he's a God that can do what we just talked about, there's nothing that you can't trust him with. As a matter of fact, what you learn is anything you have is better in his hands than it ever will be in your own hands. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to give it to him. Amen. That's why we should never struggle with paying tithe. Amen, because it's always better in the hand of God than it ever would be in our hands. So we just believe God. We trust him and we give it to him. And so we encourage saints to trust God and to know that everything that we have comes from God. And so when there's an opportunity for us to sow back into the kingdom of God, we never struggle with doing that. Amen? Because all things come from him. And we don't have a problem with giving things back to him, because if a child of God know that everything that you have, you got it by faith. Amen. How many of y'all believe that? Everything that you have, That's why the saint don't mind releasing, because you know faith just works. Amen. That means if you got people without faith, declare this: I got what I have because of my intellect. I got what I have because of my networking ability. I got what I have because of, listen, my resourcefulness. That's why I got what I've got. Because I'm resourceful, because I know how to make it work. Listen, you know, don't flatter yourself like that. Amen. Oh, let me say it this way. Don't deceive yourself like that. Because the Bible said everything comes from you, O Lord. You didn't get it on your own. Because, listen, even if you, you know, whatever you concocted, whatever you created, listen, it takes the favor of God. One, the creative ability of God to cause you to be able to do what you do. Then it takes the favor of God to touch hearts, to cause them, listen, to be interested in whatever it is you're doing. Amen. Nothing is beyond God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so if you got what you got by faith, then if you give it up, guess what? You can get it again. How? By faith. Tell your neighbor, by faith. By faith. So why would there ever be a struggle with releasing what I have if I know that what I got it by faith, if it was not for the favor of God? And guess what? God never changes. Yeah. Amen. There's never any changing in God. How many of y'all believe that? He doesn't change. I was talking about the fire of God. How about what he does at the burning bush? Huh? Watch this. I'm told y'all, listen, a water normally consumes fire, doesn't it? But when Elijah called down fire, the fire did what? Consume the water. Does fire normally consume the whole bush? But when God initiates the fire in the bush, the fire doesn't consume the bush. Why? Because he's God and he can do whatever you tell your neighbor, don't try this at home either. You go home though. I'm gonna do like God. I'm gonna set this bush on fire. You better call the fire department before you get nervous like that. Huh? This is God only. Tell your neighbor, only God can do this. I'm telling you, God will make you stop in your tracks and wonder what in the world. See, that's why when you read that text, Moses was just on a stroll in the evening. And the Bible said the only thing that caused it is not that there was a fire, but that there was a fire on a bush. And not that there was a fire on a bush, but the bush was not being consumed. He said, what's up with this? Tell your neighbor, God can get your attention. Listen, it wasn't even about the fire or the bush. He said, I want to talk to you, Moses. I did all this just to get your attention. Tell your neighbor, God did all this just to get your attention. He ain't about all the stuff that he does. He's about you. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, it's really all about me. It's really all about me. And see, that's the way God does. He loves you so much, he just want to get your attention. He does some unusual stuff. Yeah. Huh? And you know, some of the brothers here know about some of the stuff that we all did to get our wives and attention, huh? Yeah. Amen. And God loves you like that. Yeah. He'll do some stuff to get your attention. Anybody ever had their attention obtained by the God of the Bible? Raise your hand and say, he got my attention. That's the God that we serve. He loves you like that. Amen. He said you are his bride. Angels even wonder what is about you that he's mindful about you. He said, you're the apple of my eye. That means you're the central focus of God. I mean, the God that we're talking about in all, listen, he loves you with an everlasting love. He said, I can do some stuff, but it's only designed to get your attention. All he wants to do is to woo us to him. He wants to win us to him. He wants to get our attention, my God, so that, listen, he can be God over us. The Bible said he's a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and it's safe. Come on, let's celebrate God in this place. I have about 7 minutes. I'm going to. Amen. And that's what this text is about in Matthew that we're looking at. Remember the first one, we want to fast, pray, and give. Amen. We're going to release it and believe God to do great and wondrous things in our lives. He's just good like that. Now, in this text that we're dealing with here, the season of the miraculous, God is releasing miraculous things in the lives of the saints of God. I was sitting with someone just yesterday, and they were telling me about the miracles that God had brought in their life. Several testimonies yesterday that I received. And I shared in the 8 o'clock service some things that the Lord did, in our life and for my wife and I in our house. God is faithful. He said to us that this is the time I'm going to release miracles. And I'm telling you, God is doing exactly what he said. Amen. But listen, in the midst of the things that God does, there are challenges that we often face. And we said last week that there are reasons why we go through trials. One, to build our faith. The genuineness of our faith is precious. The Bible says it's much more precious than gold, because gold perishes. It said, but faith, it says, though it's tested by fire, it said that the faith that is tried by fire. And so one of the things that supposes is simply this, that faith is one thing whenever we're speaking it, but it's altogether different when you're walking it, when you're living it. Amen. That's why you go through struggles in your life so that you can walk out the stuff you've been talking about. Amen. You talk it good, but can you walk it a little bit as well? So when faith, listen, when trials come, they come for the purpose, listen, of building our faith and testing our faith to the glory of God. Second reason that it comes is to purify our lives. The Bible declares is that since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, it says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, and that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So he says that because of the fact, he said, those that live by faith, he said, we don't live in the flesh or according to our flesh, but we live according to the will of God. Amen. And that's in 1 Peter. You'll find that chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and then 12 through 19. And so he says, we live now according to the will of God because we want to live a life that's pleasing to God. That's why I've been telling the saints of God this in a message prior to these, that there's life in the Word. So no matter how many struggles, no matter how many trials we face, what we find is God is so faithful to bring us through, to bring us out of everything that we ever encounter. Amen. And then he says, listen, don't think it's strange concerning the trials that's going to try you as if some strange thing happened to you. And so what he reminds us, even when we're whimpering and we're, overcome with emotion by the things that we're going through, the Lord said, listen, you're not going through anything that, listen, so many other people either have not gone through or are going through right now. Well, the lie that the devil would tell you is that, listen, there are a whole lot of folk like me that's living for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, but they're not going through what I'm going through. Tell your neighbor, the devil is a liar. So he'll tell you that, listen, of all the stuff that you've invested in the kingdom of God, and look at what you're getting for it. Huh? And so James tells, listen, don't think it's strange, because God wants to build your faith. He wants to purify, listen, the faith that he's placed in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, to know that, listen, the thing that you're in the midst of is not designed to take you out. It's not designed to destroy you. Amen. But it results in building you. Amen? Amen? And that's what the enemy, that's what the devil doesn't like. He would love to see you destroyed. But he doesn't have the power nor the capacity to destroy anyone in this place, because God is much greater than he is. And I already told you that God loves you so much that there's nothing the enemy can do against what God has ordained to be done in your life. I was sharing very briefly with the saints of God, some brief things about my personal testimony. Let me just cut across. I'm going to stop in just a moment. But suffice to say that, you know, as young as I can remember, I knew that God had his hands on my life. Amen. I didn't acknowledge God the way that I do now, but I always knew that there was something that God had in store, that there was some measure of what I call success that God had destined for me, in spite of what I was hearing routinely from my father, who was the voice that spoke into my life back then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And because everything I heard him say was something negative. Amen. He's the one that told me that I looked like the saddest child that of all the 10 that they had. I was the sad sack of the family. I mean, that's what he told me. And then he also, he encouraged me. Oh, no, let me say it this way. He assured me that I would never, ever really do anything significant or tangible in life. And I couldn't, because the way I looked. You sad sack. That was me. That's who I was. in his mind. But in spite of that, I just knew that God had something. I knew that was something that was, listen, that was designed for my life. Amen. And as I grew and God started, you know, doing stuff, you know, I would hear, my father saying stuff to other people, but he never said anything nice to me, ever. I mean, he never said anything nice to me. And it was not a problem for me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, it's a dysfunctional kind of thing. I'm saying to you, it really, you know, and I love my father. It's not a love-hate kind of thing. You know, I loved him, and he was my dad. But that's just the way he was. Amen? And that's just how he raised her. That's how I came up. And how's I came up with it? I didn't have all that, you know, you're going to be someone great someday. You're going to do some good stuff. No. You know, you look sad. Nobody want to see you come. Amen? And so, and that's the way. But listen, if God is for you, I only said, listen, the only point I want to make is this. If God is for you, nobody can be against you. I mean, I didn't grow up robbing banks just because my dad didn't hug me. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't beat my kids because my dad, listen, wasn't nice to me. Now, I never, you know, he talked bad to me, but he never beat me because I told y'all, I saw my older brother, he beat them. And I just learned from that. I was in school. I said, I may look sad, but I ain't dumb now. I ain't stupid. I'm taking notes, Jack. You got that? I ain't going there. That's right. I am not going out like that. That's right. We are not, I am not going to do it. Amen. But then the Lord allowed me to lead my father to Christ. Amen. 3 years before he passed away, he accepted Christ. And, you know, he glorified God. He never, even after that, became. Now, he would talk to other people about stuff that I would do, but he would never say it to me. All right. So just so that you get the rest of a story that the 8 o'clock service didn't get. All right. But the point is, nobody can stop God from doing what only God can do. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if we just trust God, then the Lord said he would complete in us what he started in us. And it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. That's right. I told the St. 8 o'clock service, I mean, it was to this extent. You know, when I was, and I didn't give him this much of a story, but when I was, I don't know, probably 7 years old. You know, I started school late because, you know, I had a birthday thing 1 year. I was 2 years behind in school the whole time I went to school. All right. And so, you know, because, and I told it this way in 8 o'clock service, I said, you know, when I was in second grade, they asked me if I wanted to skip. When I was in the first grade, they made me an offer to skip the second grade and go to the third grade. All right. Just because, well, they asked me, all right. I'm not going to, well, they thought I could handle it academically, but they asked me. So my parents didn't make the choice. They gave me the choice. Now, would you imagine asking however I was 7 or whatever, or 8 years old, you want to go to the skip a grade? And I said, no, because listen, this is my reasoning behind that. I said, academically, I'm on par, according to your statistics, with the people in the third grade. But socially, I'm only as developed as the people that I'm with. So I don't think I'll take the offer. Thank you very much. So I did. And I stayed in the grade that I was in. Amen. That was a decision I made. You gave it to me. You gave it to a kid. So that's my logic. And I remember that. I remember going through that. And that's what I did. But I would say this. I think that it was a motivator for me for the rest of my life because I was always the biggest kid in the class. I told y'all, there were some things that stood out about me, like I was sad and I was big. So I was destined not to be the unwisest in the class. See, I'm going to do some work so that I won't perform like I looked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they didn't have a basketball team in the second grade, so I couldn't capitalize on my height. back then. Amen. But listen, but God did some things in my life because he destined this to be done. And everybody in this room today can look for things, listen, that you believe won't work in your life because of what reason says to you. Or you can declare that if God has spoken something to my life, then nothing is going to ever stop it from coming to manifestation. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. To know that that's what God says. Listen, and God will do some things in your life, listen, that he will get the glory. In 1 Peter 3, verse 5, verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. And in the midst of these dealings, he says, of God, we find that the end result, he says, of times like these, that without him, we can do nothing. And in the midst of what it takes, listen, what takes place, Jesus simply wants to, listen, wants to increase our awareness of his personal presence in our results. And this is the thing that the Lord said. Listen, what you've got to remember is this, that wherever there's a problem, God's presence is right there. God said, I'm a present help in trouble. Amen. So, and if he's present, guess what? Everything that he needs is right there in the midst of your situation. That's why you can be in a mess and not have mess in you. That's why you can be in a problem, but the problem never gets in you. All you've got in you is a praise that you offer to God because God is worthy to be glorified. And he will bring you out all right. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, I've tried him. Listen, and for those of us that have tried God, we know. And listen, it will do something in your life that nothing else and no one else could ever do. Amen. God will empower you. He will excite you and incite you to do some things that nothing else on earth has the power to do. Amen. I was sharing with the saints just last night. And this is the thing that God said when he was talking with the woman at Zarephath. And Elijah was giving her a word from God. What the Bible declares and what he says by revelation is this. He said that whenever you get a word from God, it should do several things in your life. One, it should, first of all, encourage you. Amen. When you're sick and the word comes, listen, it'll bring life to you. The Bible said the word is spirit and the word is life. Amen. That means that there's a transforming power in the word of God. That's why one of the things that the devil will do against you whenever you're going through, he definitely don't want anybody calling you, giving you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.
The New Bethel Church of God in Christ presents 90-Minute Impact in Word and Worship. This high-energy, high-impact service is designed for people who desire to be impacted and to be impactful for the kingdom. Saturday, 6 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. 90 minutes is all we need. Then come back for Sunday morning worship, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. For details, call 704-391-0365 or visit newbethelchurch.com.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.